to welcome all of you to our worship service today. If you're a guest here today, I especially want to say we're so glad you're here. And I just want to say to you that immediately following our service, if you want to go to the guest services, we have a gift for you. It's just our way of saying we're so glad that you came. And if you happen to be looking for a home church, we would ask that you might consider making Central Community Church your permanent home church. I also want to say a moment and welcome everybody who's watching and worshiping with us online. Thank you so much for being a part of it. Literally, we're all over the world, so wherever you may be, thank you so much for worshiping with us today. So before we get into the message for today, I just want to say is that next week is Easter Sunday, obviously. We have a service on Saturday night at 6. We have a sunrise service at 7, and then we have our regular services at 9 and 11. And I can tell you this place is going to be packed. This is one of those times in the year when people come from everywhere because they want to celebrate Easter. And I know that Pastor Phil, Pastor George have an incredible worship service for us, but we need your help. And here's where we need your help. I'm asking that you would consider to do two things. Number one, that you would obviously attend one of the services. But the second thing I'm asking you to do, would you mind helping us out and serving in one or two of those services? We're going to need ushers, we're going to need greeters, we're going to need people working in the parking lot because we want to put our best foot forward. You see, when people come to our church, what an incredible opportunity we have to demonstrate and to show them this is what Jesus looks like with skin on. And we can't do that with just a few. We've got to have everybody involved. And so immediately following the service, if you would go to guest services, and if you would just pick a service or two that you could help out in, maybe some of you who are already an usher or already a greeter, maybe you see a friend or something, just grab them and say, hey, would you come and help out? It's a great time. I promise that you will be blessed, okay? So thank you very much for doing that. Okay, now, today we're talking about Palm Sunday. And so as we go into the message today, even before the message starts, I want to tell you exactly what it is that is happening here. Because as we're going to find out, there were a lot of people during that time, they were very confused. They just didn't get it. And you know what the sad thing about it is that there's a lot of people today in our world that still don't get it. They're confused. And you know what? That may be you today. Maybe you're here today or today and you're still trying to figure it out. Well, I want you to know that immediately following our services, we have a place out here that if you would go out there, we've got a group of people just off to the left there. And what's it called again? Starting point. There you go. It's just to the left of the guest services. You know what? And if you have some questions, there's some people who are willing to pray with you and just to help you in this journey. Now, here's what it is that we're going to do today. What you need to understand is that on this Palm Sunday, Jesus comes into Jerusalem and he's doing something very specific. God is presenting the Messiah to the world. And he is still doing that today. And what I need you to understand is this, and that is that as Jesus is now presented to the world as Messiah, everybody who ever has or ever will live has to answer the same question. And this is the question. Who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? Now, traditionally, as known, today is Palm Sunday. We could tell that because we saw the donkey. We saw Jesus walk in on the donkey. We saw the kids with their palm branches. That's what we do on Palm Sunday, right? That's how we celebrate Palm Sunday. But what I want you to know is on that day when Jesus rode in Jerusalem, they didn't call it Palm Sunday. Now, you may think, well, it must have been just a normal Sunday, but it was not. It was not a normal Sunday at all. In fact, what you need to understand is that during this time is a time that's called the Passover. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that in a little bit. But the day that Jesus rode in to Jerusalem on the calendar was known as the 10th day in the month of Nisan. Nisan was the name of one of the months. Now, what's so special about this day is that this is the day on the 10th day in the month of Nisan, this is the day that Jewish families would choose the lamb that they were going to sacrifice on the 14th day of Nisan. And so what you need to remember is that a part of the Passover that goes all the way back to the book of Exodus, This is the day when they were required to pick a male lamb. It had to be a year old, and it could not have any blemishes or any defects. So at this moment, this day, all of the Jewish families that are a part of the Passover are choosing the lamb that are going to be sacrificed on the 14th day of the month of Nisan. Now, I don't know about you, but what a coincidence, right? I mean, this is the day that God presents Jesus to the people, right? It had to be a coincidence, right? No, not at all. It was all planned. But what I want you to know is that the day, according to the Jewish calendar, that fell on the 10th day of Nisan was the date in our calendar, April 6, 32 AD. I want you to remember that, April 6, 32 AD. Now, if we go back to Daniel chapter 9 in the Old Testament, remember that Daniel was one of the prophets. He was one of those who prophesied about the coming of the Messiah. And if you go to Daniel chapter 9, this is what you will find. In that chapter, it tells us about what we are to look like as far as the time when Messiah will appear. And Daniel 9 tells us this: from the day that the command is given to rebuild Jerusalem, count forward 483 years, and on that day, Messiah will appear. And then he says, shortly after that, Messiah will be killed. So that's the time frame that people were to be looking for. I mean, the Lord gives us the day in the Old Testament that the Messiah will appear. But that's not the only thing I want you to see. I want you to look at Zechariah 9, verse 9. This is another prophecy, and look what it says. Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. So in the Old Testament, remember, everything in the Old Testament points to Jesus. And the Bible even tells us this is when he is going to arrive and this is what it's going to look like. All right, now, so I found out that there's a gentleman, his name is Sir Robert Anderson, okay? He was the assistant commissioner for Scotland Yard. He was brilliant, but he was especially good in mathematics. He wrote a book called The Coming Prince. And when he wrote this book, what he deducted was the day that the command was given to rebuild Jerusalem, and it was done by King Artaxerxes, who was the Persian king at that time. You know him, we've talked about him before. He then figured out that the date, according to the Jewish calendar, that this took place on our calendar would have been March 14th, 445 BC. March 14th, 445 BC, that's the day that the command went out throughout the world that Jerusalem was to be rebuilt. He then took the 483 years that was prophesied in Daniel 9, and he went forward, and just so you know, 483 years forward is 173,880 days, just in case you were wondering, okay? And guess what? The day landed on the day, the 10th day of Nisan, which was April the 6th, 32 AD. Do we not serve an awesome God or what? But what I want you to think about is this. On that day, Jesus was presented as the Messiah, the king. And now the people had to answer the question. But for you and I as believers, oh, it means something even more important. We're in a sermon series right now called Come and See, right? And you remember when we go back to John 1, verse 29, do you remember how John the Baptist identified the Messiah? Remember how he identified Jesus? He said, look, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. In the last few weeks, Jesus has invited us to come and see. And so as we now begin this Holy Week, my encouragement with you as people is don't stay home, come and see. Come and see with your own eyes. Investigate what Jesus is doing and then answer the question that he asks the entire world, who do you say that I am? Now, what's the importance of this day for you and I? Here's what it is. On this day, the Lamb of God was chosen to do one thing, to be sacrificed on the 14th day in the month of Nisan. When I think about our God, the word that comes to my mind is this. Wow. Stand with me out of respect for God's word. I want to read from John chapter 12, and I'm just going to read verses 12 through 19. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it is written, Do not be afraid, daughter Zion. See, your king is coming seated on a donkey's colt. At first, his disciples did not understand all of this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that these things had been done to him. Now, the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he had performed this sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him. This is God's word for God's people. Let's pray together. Father, today I declare once again, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And it's in Jesus' name I pray, amen. You may be seated. So guess where Jesus is right now? He's at Mary and Martha and Lazarus' house. Woo-hoo! Things are back to normal. Do you remember what happened the last time when Jesus was at the home of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus? Lazarus was dead. But now, once again, Jesus is back at the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus, and they are having an incredible time. We know that they're dining, they're doing some eating. We know that there's some very intimate conversation that's going on because word has come to Jesus that Jerusalem is in a stir. You see, it's just a few days now before Jesus makes his final triumphant entry into Jerusalem, and word has already come about him that there's a stir. Well, what created the stir? Well, you know what it is. It was Lazarus. Lazarus was raised from the dead, and the people are in a tizzy. Here's what I want you to understand. Not only did this continue to boost the popularity of Jesus, but now Lazarus is the dude. In fact, everybody wants to know, are we going to see Lazarus? Can you imagine it? Everybody sees Lazarus and they grab their phones. Hey, can I catch a selfie with you? Can you imagine that? But there's also a problem that has developed. And the problem that has developed is this. Now there's another name that has been added to the hit list of the Sanhedrin. You see, they don't just want Jesus dead now. They want Lazarus dead too. Look at what the scripture says here. In John 11, 53, it says, So from that day on, they plotted to take his life. They're talking about Jesus here. But then if you go to John chapter 12, verse 10, guess what? Lazarus is also on the list. Now, I need you to understand something that is taking place here. And this is really important because Jesus' popularity is growing so quickly. And not only is his popularity growing, but people are beginning to congregate because they're all looking for him. Now, remember, I told you from the very beginning that this was the 10th day of Nisan. That's important because we are now in the Passover. Well, what's the Passover? The Passover was one of the three main Jewish festivals that all Jewish people had to attend in Jerusalem. This was the ceremony, this was the festival that recreated what took place back in Exodus when they took the lamb, the blood of the lamb, and they put it on the doorframe. You remember that because the blood was on the doorframe, the blood of the lamb, that the angel of death passed over them. So the Passover was a celebration of the fact that God's children went from death to life because of the blood of the lamb on the doorframe. Now, the Bible tells us, according to Josephus, who was the Jewish historian, the Bible tells us that during this Passover time, that it was not uncommon for Jerusalem to swell to more than 3 million people. Can you imagine that? I've been to Jerusalem, and I'm not sure how in the world they would hold 3 million people, but everybody's there, and everybody's asking the same question. And here's what they're asking. Is Jesus going to show up? Now, before we go any farther, there's something that I need you to understand. We all need to be on the same page about this, and this is what it is, okay? There was no one who truly understood what was taking place when Jesus was coming into Jerusalem. Not even the disciples. Look at what the Bible tells us. At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that these things had been done to him. In other words, after Jesus was raised from the dead and he ascended into heaven, that's when the disciples finally figured out, aha, that's why that happened. So you know what? Don't feel bad if you don't understand anything right now. Just get in God's word and ask God's spirit to reveal it to you, and he will, okay? All right, now, there's something else that we need to understand about what's taking place here, okay? Right now, it's 2024, right? What does that mean? It means an election year. Oh boy, right? I'm sure some of you are excited and thrilled about this, but you know what? There's nothing that can turn people on one another faster than politics, right? So what we need to do is we need to keep our eyes on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, right? And that's what we're going to continue to do because he has a plan, right? Now, you think it's bad now here in the United States? This is nothing compared to what was going on in Jerusalem. All of the different political parties and entities are coming together, and it is a mess. So here's the first thing I need you to remember. The Romans were caught off guard. Now you remember that there was a man by the name of Pilate. He was the governor. He was the procurator is what he was called. And he had one responsibility from Rome. You know what that was? You keep those Jews in line. And you do it with an iron fist. You see, there were times when the Jews tried to rise up against the Romans and the Romans would squash them. And so Rome had given Pilate strict orders, keep those Jews, those religious fanatics, keep them calm. Now it's Passover time, so there's a lot of people there. And so the Roman soldiers had been told by the Sanhedrin that Jesus is a troublemaker. But what happens, though, is that as they're looking for a troublemaker, this rebel, Jesus sneaks in on a peaceful colt of a donkey, and they miss it. On top of that, there's a few political parties that are involved in here. Here's what I mean by that. We've got the Pharisees. The Pharisees were a conservative sect. And then we have the Zealots. They were the ultra-conservative sect. And then we have a group called the Sadducees. They would be the liberal sect. Because right now, they're struggling with the fact they don't believe in the resurrection, and there's this dude, Lazarus, who is walking around. So you can imagine their frustration. And then don't forget, you've got the Romans. They're the ones who are in charge. This is our city, these are our people, and what we say goes. Well, in addition to that, there are three leaders who hate each other. First one is Pontius Pilate. We know about Pontius Pilate. In fact, he's going to take a major role in the next few days, doesn't he? But then there's another leader by the name of Herod. He's the king of the Jews. He is a narcissist. Herod was so into himself. He wanted everything better than everyone else. He even took a mountain, no kidding. He cut off the mountain with 60,000 slaves, and he built up the ground so that his house would be higher than everybody else's. On top of that, we've got the religious leaders. And there was one of them who was really creating a stir, and his name was Caiaphas. So now you can kind of understand everything that is going on. But what I need you to know is this. There's one thing that all three of these men, these leaders, could agree on, and that was this. None of them could afford a large group of people supporting this man by the name of Jesus. So the Bible tells us that Jesus begins from a town of Bethany, and he begins to make his way towards Jerusalem. What I want you to understand right now, and this is where you and I start coming in, is we've got to start making some decisions, and I want you to see the decisions that the people started making. They started trying to identify who Jesus was. Take a look at this. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." Now, I want you to understand that in doing what they're doing, by going out and waving palm branches, they are telling us a little bit about how they identify Jesus. Now, I want you to think about this. We've got the crowd of people from Bethany and Bethphage, and they are coming with Jesus towards Jerusalem. Then we've got the people in Jerusalem, and they are going out to see Jesus, and some of them are seeing him for the very first time. So we have these crowds meeting. As Jesus is coming down the path, they're waving palm branches, okay? Just like March Madness. You're probably not waving palm branches, but maybe you're wearing your towel or whatever, but you're cheering and waving on, right? When your team comes on, what do? They're waving their arms, and this is victory, woohoo, all that kind of stuff. And that's exactly what these people are doing. You see, in those days, when kings or generals would return from battle, the people would gather and they would wave palm branches. And those palm branches signified that that's our king, our victorious king. And on top of that, then they shouted, "Hosanna." And that word, Hosanna, Pastor Phil talked about it, means save us now. Now I want you to think about something, okay? So we've got all of these people, they're whooping and holler. Our king is coming. This is Messiah. He is our king. He is victorious. And we want him to save us now. So here's how the people identify Jesus. They identify Jesus as Messiah, the king who would conquer the Romans. Did you hear that? This was the Messiah that was going to come as king and conquer the Romans. Well, let me take you back just a few weeks ago. Remember when we talked about the feeding of the 5,000? Remember that? And after Jesus performed that incredible miracle, do you remember what the people wanted to do? Jesus had to get out of there quick. Why? Because the people wanted to make Jesus king. See, they saw him and they saw all these magical powers. They saw all these things that he could do for them. And they said, "That's who we want for our king. Let's make him our king. And that's how we'll get rid of those Romans." Well, the next day, you remember that Jesus slipped away and they found out that Jesus' boat had already gone across. And they followed him around to see him. And then this is where Jesus gave them that really, really hard teaching. Remember what it was? Jesus said, unless you eat my body, remember? Unless you drink my blood, he was talking about the sacrifice. Unless you take my sacrifice in, you have no part of me. Do you remember what happened? The people left him. Why? Because they could not understand him. And he was teaching a hard teaching. All right, my friends, now I want you to understand something. What happens next, only Luke records. Let's find out what that is. As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it. That word wept is the same word that you find when Jesus wept for Lazarus. It's not just a shedding a tear, it's that deep gut reaction. Sometimes it's referred to as a snort. This was the deepest emotion that you could face. So here's Jesus. He comes over the hill of the Mount of Olives. And as you come over the hill of the Mount of Olives, Jerusalem is all there. And when he sees Jerusalem, the Bible tells us, he begins to weep. Man, if I were one of the disciples, I would be thinking, look at all these people cheering you on. Dude, what is wrong? And we know what was wrong, don't we? Jesus saw the people. He saw everything they were doing. He knew their hearts. And he knew that they wanted to make him king so that he could conquer the Romans. Why is Jesus crying? Because they missed it. Do you understand, my friends? The same thing is happening to us here today. As we go through God's word, as we spend time with him, as we come and see, Jesus is telling us, don't miss this. You see, the people wanted Jesus to come and meet their needs. What was their need? Get rid of the Romans. But that's not why Jesus came, remember? Jesus came not to meet our needs, but to take care of our worst disease, which is sin. Now listen very carefully to this. The people wanted to crown Jesus as their king, and God wanted to crucify him. You see, Jesus had a purpose, my friends, and his purpose was the cross. He was born of a virgin, remember? He lived that perfect life, not only under the law, but fulfilling the law. And he had come because he was the chosen sacrificial lamb that would take away the sins of the world. Jesus sees the people, but he looks beyond them to the cross because he knows his purpose is the cross. Now, my friends, I want to tell you something. I'm very thankful about Jesus. And you know what that is? He doesn't care what people think about him. He doesn't care what people think about him. What he cares about is one voice. What he cares about is how his Father thinks about him. And Father had given him a purpose, and his purpose was to come and die, to come and take your place and mine. And Jesus would not be denied. Thank you, Jesus. Amen? So let's go back just a little bit. And I don't know what you think about the story of Palm Sunday, of Jesus walking or riding in to Jerusalem. But you know what? One of the things that I used to believe was that everything just kind of happened by chance. In other words, well, how did Jesus know that there was a donkey? How did Jesus know that there was an upper room? Now, I'm not going to tell you that this is what happened, but here's what I look at and what I see about my Savior from the Scriptures, and here's what I see him. He planned everything. You see, Jesus spent a lot of time in Bethany and Bethphage. He knew the people. He would have known who had the animals. The same thing when Jesus was in Jerusalem. He knew the people who had all the rooms. I can just see Jesus as he's walking through Bethany one day, and he goes, hey, my buddy Sam, how are you? Hey, Sam, listen, I got a favor to ask of you. In 2 weeks from today, I'm going to need a donkey and one of your colts. Could I get it from you? I'm going to send a couple of my disciples. And Sam would have said, oh, yes, Lord, anything. Maybe the next day he was walking around and there's Eliab. Hey, Eliab, how you doing? Hey, listen, I know you got one of the best rooms in Jerusalem, and I need an upper room for about 140 people. You think you could arrange that for me? Oh, you bet, Lord, I would love to do that. Everything about this triumphal entry was planned to the very minute. Now, there's one more clue I just want to tell you about that a lot of times we miss. And it happened a couple weeks before this. It happened even before Lazarus was raised from the dead. And I want to go back and find it. And here's what it is, okay? As Jesus and his disciples were leaving Jericho, a large crowd followed him. Two blind men were sitting by the roadside when they heard that Jesus was going by, so they shouted. Now, you know this story, right? I mean, just think about it, okay? Let's pretend you're blind. You can't see. And all of a sudden, you hear that Jesus is coming to walk by you. Man, the first thing I would say to whoever is with me, I would say, you make sure you place me exactly where Jesus is going to pass me by. Because I've heard about this Jesus, and you know what? I think there's something that he might be able to do for me. So sure enough, he and his buddy, they're placed along the side of the road, but the Bible says they shouted, so it wasn't like, Jesus, hey, Jesus. That's not what they did, okay? Look what happens here. Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. What are they doing? They're trying to get his attention. Think about if somebody was famous getting ready to walk by you. You'd be thinking, what could I say that's going to grab their attention? And what did they say? They said, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. I guarantee you, this is an attention getter. You know why? Because that term, Son of David, is a very key term to who Jesus' identity is. You see, that Son of David is a term that means Jesus is king. And not only that he is king, but he has a reign. He has a kingdom. And isn't it amazing that all those other times, Jesus always told people after he performed a miracle, don't tell anybody. But Jesus doesn't say anything here. He takes what they say and he holds on to it because in this sentence, they were identifying who Jesus is. So what does this say to us this morning? As we bring this to a close, what does it say to us? I think what it says is this. You've now been given the evidence. Now you have to answer the question. Take a look at this. Jesus stopped and called them. What do you want me to do for you? He asked. Lord, they answered, we want sight. Jesus had compassion on them, and he touched their eyes, and immediately they received their sight and followed him. Remember, the healing of the blind was a sign of the Messiah in addition to what he just called them. But now look at this. Say to daughter Zion, see your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. So here's what I want you to hear. Jesus is coming, and he is king. And according to this scripture verse, he is a gentle king. But you also need to understand he is king, and there's a day when he's coming, and he will come back as judge. Do you realize that when Jesus went into Jerusalem, the first place he went to was where? Was the temple. Do you remember what he called the temple? He said, my house. This is my house. He just told everybody, I am king, I am Messiah, and this is my house. So my friends, what is Jesus saying to us? Here's what he's saying to us. Either crown me or crucify me. There's no in between. I either have all of you or I have none of you. You see, I think that sometimes our world thinks all we have to do is like Jesus. Sorry, won't do. You see, when you like Jesus, the Bible talks about in the book of Revelation about what it means to be lukewarm. When Jesus says, you need to pick up your cross and you pick it up daily, listen to me, it's not a 90% commitment. Do you understand that? It's 100%. I am either your king, your Messiah, your savior, or I am nothing. There's no in between. You can't live with one foot in this world, enjoying all the things that the world gives you, and then leave the other foot in heaven. No, you're either all in or you're not. And so here comes Jesus coming down the Mount of Olives, and the people are greeting him, thinking this is the man who's going to deliver us from the Romans. But Jesus says, I am your king, but I have a different kingdom, and it's not of this world. So now Jesus says to us, you have to ask the question. And here's the question that he asks, who do you say that I am? My friends, who do you say that I am? Who do you say that Jesus is? That's the question that every person that has ever lived on the face of the earth must answer. And I can tell you, I've got the answer. But you don't need to hear what I have to say. You need to hear what the Bible has to say. This is what the Bible tells us is the answer. When Jesus asks, who do you say I am? Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. That's the answer. My grandpa used to tell me this. Close only counts in dancing and grenades. And what I want you to know today here is what the Lord says to us this, is that close doesn't count. You have to be spot on. In this next week, we have people from all over that are going to be coming to visit this church. And they're coming here for one reason and one reason only. They want the truth. And you know what? Myself and some of the other pastors that are part of our staff, the rest of this week on Thursday, Monday, Thursday, on Good Friday, and on Easter, we're going to give you the truth. Not according to Pastor Justin, not according to Pastor Aaron, not according to even Pastor Phil, or even Pastor George, but according to God's Word. Because there's power in the Word of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that you have revealed to us who he is. He is Messiah. He is the King of Kings. But he's not the king that's going to deliver us from our discomfort here on earth. He is the king who is going to deliver us from our fatal disease, which is sin. Thank you, Jesus, that you did not listen to man. Thank you, Jesus, that all you did was listen to your Father. You paid the ultimate price. You gave of your life in the most horrendous way. But because of what you did, I now stand righteous before my God. I don't want the things of this world. God, just give me Jesus, and I have all I need. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. And all God's people said, amen. Would you please stand? Aren't we thankful for the rain that we've gotten today? Praise God, right? All right. So receive the benediction as you go. I hope I see you this week. I hope you walk this journey with Jesus all the way to the cross, but don't stop there. Go all the way to the tomb. And we are going to party hardy next week, okay? Receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace, his strength, and his joy. You know the answer to the question, who do you say I am? You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. God bless you. Have a great week. We'll see you next week.